Aloha mai kakou. This is John Tilton, Senior Pastor of New Hope Oahu. In a moment, a message from our founding pastor, Wayne Cordero, on Words of New Hope.
Now I want to share with those, encourage those of you that are 40. How many of you are 40 and over? Raise your hand. Okay, you're just about finished. So let me just say this. I'm just joking. But you have the story inside of you. You've seen the miracles. You've gone through it yourself. You've worked it through. Don't take that to the grave. Help those that have dreams yet untested. And when we do, God sees our hearts and He calls all of heaven and says, let's work with that church.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Pastor Wayne Cordero. Today's message was given on the 20th anniversary of New Hope. There have been a lot of changes since those early days. Today, Pastor Wayne will show us the importance of equipping the younger generation to do battle, because it will take a multi-generational army to fight a multi-generational enemy. Here is Pastor Wayne.
Happy anniversary, 20 years. I look around at what we have here and the cameras and the music. Didn't we have great music? Just super and just... But it didn't start off that way. I remember 20 years ago when we began, we didn't have chairs, we didn't have speakers, we didn't have lights, we didn't have instruments, we borrowed even our music stands. No one had anything. In fact, Clark Bright was our first drummer. I said, Clark, would you drum? He said, you bet. He said, do you have drums? I said, no, bring your own. So they packed their drums in their cars every weekend to set it up, take it down, take it home. We had to bring everything in. We just borrowed everything. We just didn't have much. Oh, we did have one thing, in abundance, actually. And it wasn't coffee, it wasn't rice, it was heart. We had heart. That's all we had was heart. And so we said, Lord, that's all we got. And so we made a commitment that we were going to live with all our hearts, that we will use our hearts in its totality, so that when we would sing with all of our hearts. And we made a dedicated commitment. And I said to the ushers, when you pass out bulletins, don't pass them out with your hands. Let's pass them out with our hearts. When you wipe the tables, don't wipe them with a washcloth. Wipe them with your heart. When you embrace people, embrace them with all your heart. And when you sing, sing with all your heart. Worship with all your heart. Do all that you do with all your heart. And you know what? God began to use that. That became the staple ingredient that started this church. And the message today is this: what God used then to build the church, He will use again to sustain the future of this church. The methods might change. The packaging might change. But the heart has to be there. Sometimes we say, well, if the packaging changes, the heart does. No, you can package it in a million different ways. But that ingredient is so incredibly important. Why? Because listen carefully, a mind can reach a mind, but only a heart can reach a heart. And God wanted to reach not the minds of people, the hearts of people needed to be transformed. Because if you just transform their minds, but their hearts are still the same, it's not sustainable. The change will default back to the way they were. But if you change hearts, everything changes. And Jesus came to change the hearts of men. But He can't transform hearts unless He utilizes hearts that have been transformed. So He takes a heart to reach a heart. And boy, when we began to do that, we just started serving God with all our hearts, playing, bless you, with all our hearts, sneezing with all our hearts. And boy, did God start to use that. I mean, He started reaching so many hearts. People began to get saved everywhere. And we had to change locations because we kept outgrowing the locations we are. This is a true story. The first 4 years, New Hope used 28 locations. That's how many times we had to move. In fact, there was an ongoing joke that says, if you can find them, you can go. We were at the university ballroom, and it was so packed that people couldn't get in. They were down the hallways looking through the windows. So we actually had to take extension speakers and put them down the hallway so people could at least hear, because we didn't have these screens and stuff back then. We didn't have anything, but we had heart. So we loved with all our hearts, and people began to get saved. They were getting saved outside, looking through the windows, tapping on it, saying, my hand is up too. And God just began, through all kinds of events, just people would just come to Christ. I remember telling the story of this one lady, and she tells me this later, so I'm going to share it in sort of in retrospect. When we finally got to Farrington High School, we set up tents outside. There was no air conditioning. We had, I think it was 20 Vernado fans, those round ones, on the sides. And we had to put them nearly full speed to keep the place cool down. So every weekend when I would speak, it was like I was talking in the middle of a hurricane. And so we had tents set up outside of different colors because it was on sale. So we took whatever colors they had. And we were serving shaved ice because everyone was just dripping wet. But we sweat with all our hearts. No. And so this lady was driving by. It was right before Christmas. And she saw all of the colored tents and the selling of shave ice. And she said, it's Saturday night, high school, colored tents, shave ice, right before Christmas. She deduced that, this must be a Christmas crafts fair. So she thought, you know what? I'm going to go in and get some cheap presents for my grandkids at this crafts fair. So she pulls into our parking lot on Saturday night, and we have parking attendants with these vests on. So one of them brought her right into, guided her into a parking space and said, welcome. And she's driving in thinking, this is the most organized crafts fair I have ever attended. She gets out, they open the door for her and give her a hug. She's thinking, this is the friendliest crafts fair I've ever been to. She, with the crowd, gets swept into an auditorium like this. She gets seated right in the middle, so people are on either side, fixed seating, and there's some people up front singing Christmas carols. You know, it's kind of like a pre-service thing. Joy to the world. And she's thinking, this is absolutely amazing. They even get you in the spirit before they get you to shop. And then a little while I come out and I start preaching, and she says to herself, oh no, this is a church. And she couldn't escape because she's right in the middle, you know, and people are on both sides. And at the end of the service, I invite people to come to Christ, and she raised her hand and received Jesus. Now she's telling me this after church, and I am just rolling with laughter. And so she says, so if anybody ever asks you, at least one person in New Hope came to Jesus at a crafts fair. And I thought, that's just like the Lord, to use anything. And you see, when you have a heart that's fully devoted to Christ, to follow Him and love Him, and you live, here's the phrase, you live heart first. God's going to use that. And what God used in the beginning to build New Hope, He will use again at this summit of 20 years, at this juncture, to sustain the future of New Hope. That doesn't change. You see, you can change the packaging. You can change the expression. You can change whatever. But that heart is what God uses. I remember her name is Sue Ann, and she and I were in Rotary together. She received Christ at New Hope, and only 6 months old in the Lord. And you know, the new Christians are just vibrant. They're pioneers. They're ready to go. Well, we were in Rotary together, and I was to speak at the district Rotary conference in Kona, and so flew over there, and she had flown over there too to attend this district conference. And prior to the time that I was going to speak, we had some poo-poos being served, some hors d'oeuvres, and outside of the lanai of the hotel. And I got my plate, and I was looking for a place to sit, and there she was at a round table, Sue Ann, and this elderly Japanese man, just the two of them. So as I'm looking around for a place to sit, she sees me. She says, Pastor Wayne. She says, do you have a place to sit? I said, no, not yet. She says, sit here. And she looks over at this Japanese man. She says, Pastor Wayne, do you know? And I forgot his name, so we'll just call him Mr. Miyagi. And so she said, do you know Mr. Miyagi? I said, no, I don't. I said, hi, Mr. Miyagi. He said, haro grasapo. And I sat down. And immediately she turns to him. And she says, Mr. Miyagi, do you go to church? He said, oh, no. I'm a Buddhist, so I don't go Christian church. She said, that's all right. You come to New Hope, it'll change you. Change me. I came just one time. Boom, I was changed. He said, oh, no, I golf every Sunday morning. She says, that's all right. You just got to come to New Hope Saturday night, and it'll change your life. He said, oh no, I have my own religion. She said, what's that? I give it to Boy Scout and I give it to American Cancer Society. She said, that's fine. You just got to come to New Hope. It'll change your life. And for the next 20 minutes, whatever excuse he gave, her response was exactly the same. You just come to New Hope. It'll change your life. He could have said, I'm a Martian from Mars. That's all right. You come to New Hope. It'll change your life. And I sat back on my chair and I thought, you cannot teach this kind of evangelism, even in Bible college. But you see, she wasn't following a program. She wasn't following a script. She wasn't doing it out of duty. She was doing it out of a heart full of love. She was living heart first, and everything else didn't matter after that. And God says, that's what I'm going to use. I used it then, I'm going to use it again. And that cannot change. And the music that we have, you know, might be loud for some people, but these musicians, you know, you don't see them up in the recording studio. I do. Their hearts are so good. They'll be on their faces praying. They'll fast. They'll ask God for the songs, and they'll believe God, and they'll beg God, and they'll worship before they sing, and they'll cry out to God, Lord, we don't just want our voices to be recorded. We want it to be a vessel through which the Holy Spirit can touch people. And I look at that and I think, you know, the same heart that was back then is being packaged a little differently, but it's the same heart. And that baton of the heart is what's being passed. And they'll paint it different colors. It'll spin a little differently. It'll look different, but it's the same. When I look at these young generation people at New Hope and I think, wow, that's the heart that we want. Never, never let that get changed. And that's what we have to pass on. There's many of us who have gone through a lot of the miracles. We've seen God do great things. But you have the heart that's still there. That's what they need. Things might look different to you, sound different. I remember there was a lady that was a generation before me. When we started here, I was about 41, 42 years old. And one Sunday, the music was abnormally loud. And even for me, my ears were hurting. And I saw this lady just right about there standing. She must have been 88, 90 years old. And the speaker in front of her was four times as large as she was. I mean, it was a massive speaker. And you can see the speaker cones vibrating and pulsating like this. And every time it pulsated with the bass, you know, boom, 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 her hair would go, whoo, whoo, whoo. And she's just smiling away, worshiping God like this. And I looked at her and I thought, you're going to die. So right after worship was done, I made a beeline down to her and her hair was just flying back. And so when the music stopped, I said, isn't this kind of loud right here for you? Because you could stand back there. I said, isn't it loud right there? She looked at me and said, huh? I said, isn't it a little loud up here? And she said, just wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. And she took earplugs out. She said, now what were you saying, young man? And I said, you bring earplugs to church? Isn't that a little awkward? And she stopped and almost as if she teared up a bit and she said, you know, I used to go to another church and nobody got saved. And the music was soft. I come to New Hope and the music is a little different than what I'm used to. But I see young men and young women, married people, children, all coming to Christ and their lives are all coming alive. And she says, if it requires earplugs to come here, I will bring earplugs. Don't worry, we have since decreased the decibels of the music here and made it a little better. But I thought, you know, what she was seeing was that which must never change, that the people were receiving Christ and there was a group around them with hands of blessing almost saying, you keep going. It may not be exactly the way we see it or we would like to do it, but the heart is the same and people are coming to Christ. And I thought, wow. Reminded me of a story in Exodus chapter 17. And you're going to see the scripture come up in a second, but let me give you some background. Moses had led the people of Israel out of Egypt. They were slaves under Pharaoh for 40 years. It was time for them to be set free to become the people that God designed them to be. So he raised up Moses, and they went through the Red Sea, the grand miracle of the parting of the waters. Walked through, saw Pharaoh and his army destroyed. Then they go into the desert. Now there's enemies in the desert, but there's one that was the most insidious. They were the Amalekites. They were very crafty. Here's what they would do. They didn't have the courage to do a frontal attack onto the people of Israel because they would have won. So you know what they did? They would hide away, steal away into the hills surrounding the areas where the Israelites would come through. Maybe a valley place. And they would wait for those who would straggle behind a little. It could be elderly people. It could be children. It could be a curious child looking at something in a wadi or a little dried up stream. And they would come down and cut them down one by one. They would take the children captive for slaves, and they would kill this elderly person. That one that wasn't feeling good. They would just cannibalize one by one the people of Israel. Now, they didn't do it for a week or two. They were doing it for 40 years. And so now they have this curse following them. Now, it was in Rephidim where the people, they didn't have any water and they were desperate for water. So Moses prayed and God says, I want you to take that staff in your hand and I want you to strike this huge granite rock. And I'm going to gush water, clear, cool water, enough for all of the people to drink. And so he does that. When he hits the rock, water comes gushing out of a rock. Now, later on, God is going to say to Moses, speak to this rock, don't hit it, and I'll bring water. But this time, he says, I want you to strike the rock. I want to pause just a second and say this, that the methods that God used yesterday may not be the same methods he's going to use today. The way God did it, and you saw miracles, God may choose to do it differently. And what happened later on is Moses, when God says, speak to the rock, he strikes it because he thinks that if God did it this way, it needs to be done this way again. And God says, oh no, I changed. And I wanted you to listen to me. Don't just do what you did in the past. I'm doing a new thing and I will still bring the great miracles, greater miracles yet to be seen. But you do it a different way. And that's actually what kept Moses out of the promised land. That he figured the way it was done should be done in the future. God says, uh-uh. You take the same heart of obedience, and that I will use. Everything else may change. Well, when water comes out in the middle of the desert, you know what it draws? Enemies. Because water in the middle of the desert is like an oasis, and so it's going to be warred for. People are going to battle for that. And sure enough, the Amalekites said, now is the time to do a frontal attack because we need to own this source of water. Now, it's going to be a little different, and here's the message. Because you're going to see those that came out of Egypt fighting, but in a different role. And then the young, new Joshua, who was probably born along the way, because remember, they were there 40 years. So he's born somewhere. He may not have seen the parting of the Red Sea. He didn't see that parting. He may not have caught some of the earlier miracles, or if they happened while he was alive, he was young. He grew up within the Israelite community, but it's a different venue. It's a different season now. Now, you're going to see that these Amalekites had been cannibalizing off of the Israelites for 40 years. And they are taking generation after generation, the older ones, the younger ones, the straying ones, the ones that straggled behind a little. But in order to defeat this enemy, you're going to see the combining of God's design of the first former generation and then the following generation. It's going to require both working together to root out this kind of enemy. Read it. It's going to come up on the screen. Would you read it with me? Go. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow, I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. Stop there just for a second. Now, Joshua chooses some men, and he's going into the valley where the Amalekites are going to start their frontal attack. Moses and Aaron, those and Hur that came from that former generation, they don't go to the valley. Guess where they go? They go to the what? Top of the hill. Now, you know what God's going to say to Moses? I want you to be a part of the battle, but I want you to take over the spiritual part of that. Because what you're going to win in the heavenlies, they're going to win in the earthly. And you can't lose this because it will reflect down here. So Moses lifts his hands up, and what you don't see is some of the verses that I left out, but it says when he let his hands down, the Israelites began to be defeated, and he'd lift them up again, and they win. He'd let them down, they'd lose, and pretty soon you'll read this part that Aaron and Hur said, you better keep your hands up. And he says, yeah, but it's tiring. I mean, hours he had to just hold his hands up. So you know what they're about to do? Let's read. Go. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But when Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. You keep them up. You see, God's going to say to those who came out first, I'm going to do a new battle down in the valley, and it's going to be led by the Joshua generation, but the Moses generation, I want you to stand like this and bless them. I want you to oversee. I want you to cover them. I want you to believe God. I want you to withstand the enemy as they reap that victory. They're going to swing the swords, but I'm going to give the victory. But you got to do it together. It'll be a multi-generational army. Now he says to Moses, I want you to stand like this. And a lot of times those of the older generation, we stand like this, or we stand like this. He says, I want you to stand like this. I want you to encourage and upbuild. Oh, there's going to be times you're going to correct, you're going to amend, you're going to edit, you're going to cue, you're going to advise. You may even discipline, but I want it to be like this. And they'll win if you do it together. Let's continue. Go. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, now write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven. Moses built an altar and called it, the Lord is my banner. This, like this, see? The Lord is my banner. Continue. He said, because the hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord by the enemies, the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation. God is saying in this season, New Hope, we're going to require a multi-generational army because we must do battle against a multi-generational enemy. See, the enemy is taking down our elderly one by one, saying, you're of no value anymore. You're useless. They don't need you. But in reality, you hold the story of God in your heart, the miracles. You have seen the hand of God. You've been through all of that. You've even struggled yourself and overcame that. In you are lessons, like breadcrumbs that you can leave behind. There are things that we can do in ways that are like us just lifting our hands up. Or we can say, well, I'm out of here. It's not like it used to be, so I'm out of here. God doesn't do the same thing all the time. He may change. And it's those of us who understand that, God says, that's what I'm using to win Hawaii. Now, I want to share with those, encourage those of you that are 40. How many of you are 40 and over? Raise your hand. Okay, you're just about finished. So let me just say this. I'm just joking. But you have the story inside of you. You've seen the miracles. You've gone through it yourself. You've worked it through. Don't take that to the grave. Help those that have dreams yet untested. yet captured in their hearts and say, you can do it, I know. And when we do, God sees our hearts and he calls all of heaven and says, let's work with that church.
You've just heard Pastor Wayne Cordero in a message given on the 20th anniversary of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Thank you for listening. Now, for Pastor Wayne and all the Ohana at New Hope, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.